All right, folks, as we mentioned earlier, today is the 40th anniversary of the release of the Schaefer Commission report, the one that recommended decriminalization of marijuana to President Nixon, and the one that President Nixon promptly threw in the garbage and then started the war on drugs that we're all enjoying today. Here to talk about it is someone who was there for the release of that report and someone for whom that report's release must have been incredibly good news at the time, Keith Stropp, the founder of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Law. From Washington, D.C. Hi, Keith. How's it going?
It's going fine. Nothing I'd rather talk to you about than the National Commission on Marijuana and Drug Abuse. I think it was the single most important development in the last 40 years.
Yeah, and this is back when they spelled marijuana with an H.
Well, they tried. Most people didn't. But you're right. The actual report was spelled with an H.
Maybe that's why we didn't get it decriminalized, because he must have thought we were talking about some other drug.
They didn't realize it was that same drug that caused all those Mexicans to go crazy.
Yeah. So, of course, when you founded Normal, it was 1971 when we get the official paperwork. So, you know, you can decide on which date's the official date or whatever. But since 1970, you've been fighting this. And so for, you know, 2 years in, 2.5 years in, to have the federal government come back with a report that says basically what you'd been saying all those years, how'd that make you feel?
Well, I'll be honest with you, it was a surprise, because when the commission was first created, we expected that it was simply going to be a group of old white men who were going to say the status quo was working fine, leave things alone. Keep in mind that this was a 13-member congressional-created committee. Four of the members were chosen by Congress from among themselves, that is, two members of the House of Representatives and two senators. But nine of the members were handpicked by former President Nixon to serve on the commission. So, obviously, we presumed that they had picked people who would reinforce Nixon's anti-marijuana position. So our expectations were pretty low when that commission started their work. And in fact, the first exchange I had with the commission, Normal had only been in existence a few months, and I read that they were going to hold their hearing in Washington, D.C., and I sort of naively sent a letter to the staff director saying, hi, my name's Keith Stropp. I've recently founded a group called Normal, and we'd like to testify at your hearing. I was young and naive enough that I didn't realize the unlikely aspect of being invited to testify. At any event, within just a couple of days, I got a note back from the executive director saying, we're really not interested in hearing from you. Mm-hmm. Well, at that phase, I thought, well, I can't be deterred totally. So I had been working closely with former Attorney General Ramsey Clark at the time. And Ramsey, in fact, had been Attorney General only a few years earlier before that, so he was still a prominent American, and I had been working with him to get Normal up and running. So I went back to Ramsey Clark and said, Ramsey, would you be willing to testify on our behalf if we can get you invited? And he said, sure, I'd be happy to. So I get back in touch with the commission and said, well, how about this? Former Attorney General Ramsey Clark would like to testify on our behalf. And sure enough, within a day or two, I had a note back saying, Mr. Stropp, we're not interested in hearing from you or from Mr. Clark.
Oh, yeah.
And at that point, I simply went to the media, and naturally, the media wasn't particularly concerned about whether the commission wanted to hear from Normal, because nobody had heard of Normal at the time, but they were a little surprised that they weren't interested in hearing from a man who just a couple of years earlier had been the Attorney General of the United States. And so there were major stories in the Washington Post and the New York Times saying, commission refuses to hear from former Attorney General Clark. Within a few hours, the chairman of the commission, Governor Raymond Schaefer, former Pennsylvania Governor Raymond Schaefer, was on the phone to Ramsey Clark apologizing and inviting him to testify indeed at the first hearing. And even more than that, within a couple of days, I had a letter from the staff director inviting me to testify on behalf of Normal. Now, they didn't invite me to testify at the main hearing here in Washington, D.C., but nonetheless, they scheduled me to testify at a hearing a few months later in San Francisco. And as the story goes on, it's the first time I had a chance to meet Michael Aldrich and poet Allen Ginsberg, who were there testifying on behalf of a group called LEMAR, which was an earlier legalization group that eventually morphed into Amorphia, And Amorphia subsequently merged with Normal, so there was a long history there. And also, at a hearing in Chicago later that year, the commission held, I had the chance to meet for the first time Guy Archer and Frank Fioramonte, two young lawyers from New York, who were working on a project they had established with the Bar Association to try to legalize marijuana, and they ended up converting it into New York Normal. And indeed, before that decade was up, they had decriminalized minor marijuana offenses in New York State. So, at any event, when they started, we didn't expect much out of the commission, but before too long, we began to hear stories that they were not as closed-minded as we had thought, and that there might be some hope for this commission after all.
Yeah, so it must have been a pleasant surprise when you got the news from the commission that they had recommended decriminalization. And I think it's important to underscore as well, it wasn't just decriminalization for personal possession, but also for small transfers. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. What the commission actually recommended was the elimination of all criminal penalties, or all penalties, period, for the possession and use of marijuana, and for the not-for-profit transfers of small amounts of marijuana between adults. Now, it's interesting where that came from. Somewhere during the course of that first year, I had developed enough of a friendship with a couple of members of the commission. In particular, Dr. Tom Ungerleiter from UCLA was someone we developed a friendship with. And I learned that, in fact, they had held a number of private sessions in which they had invited adults who smoked marijuana to attend those sessions and to smoke in front of the commissioner. Realized these were mostly older white men. Most of them had never seen a marijuana cigarette in their life, nor had they ever seen anyone who was smoking marijuana. So they didn't have any basis to evaluate the experience. And someone had the foresight and the courage to say, well, then why don't we invite some marijuana smokers in? Frankly, I think today people would be afraid to do that for fear that somehow the government would come in and bust them all or something. But at the time, they did. And I think, obviously, what they decided after experiencing what it was like to see people smoking marijuana is that it was no big deal. And they also learned that, where do you get your marijuana? Well, what the smokers told them is that we all buy it on the black market, or we grow a few plants ourselves, but we also share it among our friends on a not-for-profit basis. And, of course, that's still true today. How many times do we go to a social event and we throw a couple of joints in our pocket because we know there'll be marijuana there, but we want to share. We want to share our good marijuana with our friends who have their good marijuana. So by the time the Marijuana Commission report was actually issued in March of 72, we were by then expecting that it might well be a pretty good report. We were hoping it was going to recommend full legalization, and when it came out and did not, when it came out and just simply recommended decriminalizing the marijuana smoker and decriminalizing minor not-for-profit transfers, we actually had an internal debate for a month or so at Normal, unsure as to whether we should complain about what we did not receive or whether we should celebrate what we had received. And, of course, after just a few days of kicking it back and forth, I think we all came to our senses and realized that this report was, in fact, an incredibly significant step forward in the public policy debate on marijuana. It's the first and only national commission we've ever had in this country to focus on marijuana policy. And the idea that it was handpicked by an anti-marijuana zealot, Richard Nixon, and yet they still came back and essentially agreed with our basic position that there's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana, it was a godsend indeed. And the second part of that, I should add, is that the commission itself went out of business as soon as they completed their two-year report. There were no provisions in the section of the Controlled Substances Act that had created the commission. There were no provisions for them to take that report and try to implement it at the state level. So Normal was the only group around to do that. And indeed, as a young, idealistic public interest organization, we were only too happy to take that report and to pick some good witnesses from around the country. And we basically went around, and if we could identify any state legislator in any state who was willing to introduce a marijuana decriminalization proposal, we would fly witnesses out to support that proposal at no cost to the legislator or to the legislature, and make sure that that they were not embarrassed by introducing the bill. And in fact, they came away feeling that it was a good thing they had done. Mm. Now, the first several, of course, didn't get passed, and we weren't sure which states were going to adopt it and which weren't, but there were a number of states considering it in 72 and 73. As it turned out, Oregon was the first state to finally adopt the version of decriminalization in 1973. But by 1978, we had adopted decriminalization in a total of 11 states, and at the time, we thought the wind was behind our back and that there was no stopping us. Within just a few years, we expected to have decriminalized marijuana throughout the country. The reality was that we were unaware, but the mood of the country was becoming far more conservative by the end of the 1970s, and we didn't win another statewide victory. The last state to win that we won during the 70s was Nebraska in, I believe, 77. It might have been 78. We didn't win another single statewide victory until 1996, when California adopted the legal medical use of marijuana. We went 18 years without a statewide victory. But again, it wasn't that we were doing anything wrong. It was that the mood of the country had turned against us, and about all we could do was keep our head below the firing line.
Yeah.
Fortunately, starting in about 1990, as you're familiar with those various polling surveys, we can demonstrate that the mood of the country began to come back in our direction, and it's been a steady but slow climb in our direction ever since. And if it continues for another 3 or 4 or 5 years, I think without question, we're going to have a handful of states that will have fully legalized marijuana in this country.
All right.